Greetings and welcome to Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. This is a weekly podcast of Sunday homilies and theological reflections given by the staff of the Catholic community and their guests. Today's speaker is Father Xavier Lavaghetto and Chaplain Teresa Plans. It is the 19th Sunday of Ordinary Time and the readings are from Cycle A.
Peter once again lives up to his nickname, Petros, Rock. And now, like a rock, he sinks. Now, Jesus named him the Rock of Faith, given to strengthen his brethren, but today he proves how little faith he has. And in those moments of fear, well, we all sink. I like Peter a lot. He's my kind of guy. He's very, very human. At one moment, he's so sure and certain, so enthusiastic. Yet a moment later, he sinks in fear, crying out, Lord, save me. I've known up close and personal his fear. I know what it is to feel like you're sinking, clutching out madly for any friendly hand. Any hand. Well, that's a story that'll wait another time. The wonder of our God is, in Jesus Christ, he is so ready to grasp my hand. You know, God's self-emptying love in Jesus reveals more about God than all his miracles and acts of power and might. Yet, let's face it, we do prefer a God of decision, of power, command, and so did Elijah. Elijah was, well, justifiably afraid for his life. King Ahab's wife, Jezebel, had put a contract out on him. And so God sends an angel to first feed him and then send him to the mountain of God for a little remedial education. Where do you find God? And so we heard Elijah's class on what matters most and where God speaks most clearly. Strong wind was rending the mountains and crushing rocks, but the Lord was not in the wind. After the whirlwind, there was an earthquake, but the Lord was not in the earthquake. And then there was the fire. And finally, there was a tiny whispering sound. And Elijah hid his face. Regretfully, we really do prefer a God who shouts to self-emptying love. Let God be in the whirlwind, earthquake, and fire. But a tiny whispering sound, oh, come on, God, speak up louder. I may not hear it amidst the storms of my life. At least with power and might, I'd have no choice. No responsibility either. If given a choice, I would probably choose a decisive God. Yet God makes himself vulnerable to human rejection. And above all, God, don't ask me to become vulnerable. Do you think that America's enchantment with the American brand of Christianity is really about Jesus as God? I sometimes wonder if this is the reason why so many Americans step around Jesus' words. Do you imagine that middle America, political America, wants to hear these words? Love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you. When someone strikes you on the right cheek, turn the other one to him as well. For as you judge, so will you be judged, and the measure with which you measure will be measured out to you. If you do not forgive others, neither will your Father forgive you your transgressions. Hard words. As one wag put it, I think it was C.K. Chesterton, Christianity has never failed. It just has never been tried. And so we sink into fear and insecurity, and we resort to retaliation, revenge. America knows how to be angry, but does it know how to build bridges? When it comes to really attempting to live the gospel, Jesus' question is still, "O you of little faith, why do you doubt? Why do you doubt my way of living? Why do you doubt my words?" Jesus comes amid storms. He comes with an outstretched arm. Did you notice only when he is taken into the boat does the calm come? Only when Jesus is let into our hearts does our heart storm stop. I sometimes think that Peter began to fear because he wasn't listening to those still small voices, those words that Jesus was saying over and over again. Call upon Teresa to hit this ball home.
The terror of that wind in our first reading may be felt very strongly if you've ever lived in a place known as Tornado Alley or in a hurricane's playground. I remember when I was living in North Dakota watching my older cousins holding their mother back, restraining her from running out into a tornado to rescue her youngest son who was trapped in their car. And her screams matched the howling of that wind. It's not something that will ever leave my memory. And I wondered, in wrestling with these readings this week, if it was that way for the disciples in that boat. The Sea of Galilee is not tiny. And when they were trapped in that wind-roiled waters, what were they thinking? Or were they just screaming? Or for Elijah, standing before the fury that was breaking rocks and splitting mountains, threatening to kill him even before King Ahab and Jezebel could catch up to him and wreak their bloody revenge because he had prophesied against their idolatries and against their injustices to the people. The setting for both those readings, the first reading and the gospel, is sheer, terrifying violence. Winds and earthquakes and fires and apparent abandonment of helpless disciples or prophets or Middle Eastern children fleeing Christian refugees or drought-starved lands, desperate ferry boat riders trying to escape abject poverty, economies of prisons and gangs and hopelessness. You choose. You choose. You can listen to these readings week after week and go, "That's nice. It's part of our history. It's a story. Historically true miracles, we don't know." Or you can listen and make them your life's connections with our sisters and brothers who face winds of violence, war, and disease. And some will say the violence is God's will. As Father Xavier said, great to have a God who's in charge of everything. And perhaps we don't even say this overtly, because we at least like to think we are too sophisticated for that. But the Bible is full of violence and is oft used, one race against another, one gender against another, one religion against another, and on and on and on. It is easier to blame God, Allah, Yahweh. It's easier to blame God than to sift through the violence and find out the real hurt. I don't know many things in my life. The older you get, the more you realize that you don't know very many things. But there's one thing I'm sure of. That is that violence, as violence, is evil. And therefore does not, cannot come from God, Allah, Yahweh, who is love incarnate and in whose being resides utmost compassion for all of creation. And in whose image we are all made. In today's scriptures, God is not manifested in the violence. Ironically, it is in the sound of sheer silence where Elijah hears God's presence. And Jesus calmed the storm, and then the disciples believed. In the calm and in the silence is the holiest of the holies, the grace of God. The chaos of the violence is a dangerous diversion. What might we miss if we cannot catch the whisper of God's love? We might miss the things that we all deal with, the things that we are sitting here with, the exhaustion of illness, the regret of fractured relationships, the uncontrolled destruction of addiction, the fear of unemployment, the ache, the heartache of losing someone you love. And yet, here we are, sitting side by side, gathered in God's presence. We could easily miss someone right beside us. And if we're caught up in the chaos of life, we could also miss those who live in shadows. Those people who are too afraid or not even free to come here and worship and sit beside us. And those are the people who desperately need us to notice. We could also miss God's plan for us. Now, in God's plan, some of us are still figuring this out. And some of us think we already know. And some of us think we already know, but we haven't checked in with God lately. So, prophets and disciples rarely live their lives on autopilot. We could miss God's plan for us. We could miss Jesus' hand reaching out to pull us from the stormy seas. It is never in God's plan for us to drown. But if we love strong enough to make a difference, we are going to get wet, soaked even, buffeted by winds, and in way over our heads. For we are not God. We are all the Peters of the world. And before we dare to walk on water, we better be sure we're close enough to Jesus to grasp that outstretched hand. And most of all, what we might miss if we lost ourselves in chaos, we might miss the beauty all around us. Children's shy smiles, or 50th wedding anniversaries, or friends, the ocean, music, people who are different from us, laughter, pets, recovery, Eucharist, grandparents' rocking chairs. Make your own list. Every list will be different. Let it be your prayer, a reminder of God's gracious love, perhaps an antidote to the violence and the chaos, the gifts that anchor us in the storms of life. I'd like to close with an excerpt from Truman Capote's short story, A Christmas Memory. This part doesn't have anything to do with Christmas, but it captures a bit of what I'm trying to say. 7-year-old Buddy, his elderly companion, and their dog, Queenie, have gone out to fly kites. "My, how foolish I am," my friend cries, suddenly alert. Like a woman remembering too late, she has biscuits in the oven. "You know what I've always thought?" she asks in a tone of discovery, and not smiling at me, but some point beyond. "I've always thought a body would have to be sick and dying before they saw the Lord. And I imagined that when he came, it would be like looking at the Baptist window, pretty as colored glass with the sun pouring through, such a shine you don't know it's getting dark. And it's been a comfort, Buddy, to think of that shine taking away all the spooky feeling. But I'll wager it never happens. I'll wager at the very end, a body realizes the Lord has already shown himself. That things as they are," and her hand circles in a gesture that gathers clouds and kites and grass and Queenie pawing earth over her bones, "just what they've always seen, that was seeing him. As for me, I could leave the world with today in my eyes. So open your eyes and ears, and you will find God. Then take Jesus' hand and work for that peaceable kingdom so that more of God's children can say, I could leave the world with today in my eyes."
This has been a presentation of Catholic Cardinal Reflections, the regular podcast of the Catholic community at Stanford University. Director, Gary Glover, with music by Albert Tommaso and Shane Clarkson. For more information, please visit our website at catholic.stanford.edu or visit our offices on the third floor of Old Union. Till next time, God bless you.